The nation's debt keeps rising, but maybe now is the right time to borrow money.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Well, if all goes according to plan today, the payroll tax cut that we've all been getting this year will be extended by another 2 months. On the upside, that tax cut has meant more money in our pockets. On the downside, it has put less money into the Social Security Trust Fund, because that's what this particular tax pays for. Now, with the nation's debt currently exceeding $15 trillion, you might think it's no time for Washington to go further into the red. But as our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports, some economists say that's exactly what we should be doing.
Right now, the federal government can borrow for less interest than the rate of inflation.
Meaning investors are paying the government to hold on to cash because they don't see any good investment opportunities.
Andrew Fieldhouse is with the Economic Policy Institute. He says the government should take advantage of that by borrowing at zero interest and extending payroll tax cuts and unemployment benefits. That money, he says, will help get the economy going.
When customers go out and spend money and another million Americans are working because of the payroll tax cut, you're collecting more tax revenue.
Revenue that helps the government pay back its cheap loans. But conservative economists like Johns Hopkins professor Steve Hanke say consumers care more about growing government debt than more stimulus.
It makes people very anxious and worried about the future. They tend to hunker down and don't spend the money.
Hanke says even if borrowing is free, the money still adds to the deficit and won't do any good for the economy. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
We're just a little more than a week away from the Iowa caucuses, and one GOP candidate who's been gaining steam in Iowa heading into the home stretch is Texas Congressman Ron Paul. As part of a series of conversations about the candidate's economic ideas, we're going to talk Paulonomics now with Kevin Hassett. He's director of economic policy studies at the conservative think tank, the American Enterprise Institute. He's with us now from Washington. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first of all, just give us an overview of Ron Paul's economic philosophy.
Yeah, Ron Paul's economic philosophy is kind of a throwback philosophy. He wants to go back to the 19th century of how we ran the country. So he wants to repeal the 16th Amendment of the Constitution. He wants to have free trade and wants a really, really small government.
Well, how do you think that the economy would be different in this country if Ron Paul actually did the things that he wants to do? I can think of, for instance, he wants to get rid of the Federal Reserve, right?
Yeah, that's right. And that's one of the things that I have the most trouble with. Ron Paul is for going back on the gold standard, and that's a really cockamamie scheme. You know, there's no government left on earth that thinks that way about monetary policy. And I think that going back to the gold standard would make it so that if, you know, all of a sudden somebody finds some gold somewhere, then we've got inflation. Or, you know, if you're shipping some gold across the ocean and then the ship sinks, then, you know, it goes the other way. There are a lot of strange things that happen if you're on the gold standard.
There are going to be some people who hear this interview and maybe they're Ron Paul supporters, and they will say, oh, listen to this Kevin Hassett. He's just an establishment Washington guy at the American Enterprise Institute. He just doesn't want Ron Paul, this outsider, to come in and make real change.
I think that that's really false. The fact is that Ron Paul has some good ideas. I like the fact that he supports the fair tax, but he also proposes things that are really based on a misreading of modern economics, I think, and sometimes even a misreading of the Constitution. And so that's a strong reason to oppose, I think, the really strange set of policies that make up the Ron Paul platform.
Kevin Hassett is director of economic policy studies at the American Enterprise Institute. Kevin, thanks.
Thanks a lot.
And you can find the economic ideas of all the candidates at marketplace.org. Let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher across the globe this morning, up more than 1% in Hong Kong and about 0.6% higher right now in London. A global poll out today from Gallup finds France is the most pessimistic country in the world. In fact, the poll finds all of Europe and North America aren't feeling so great right now. But the rest of the world, led by Africa, remains optimistic. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 61 points to close at 12,169.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
The British oil company BP announced this week it is getting out of the solar business after some 40 years. This is the same BP that markets itself as Beyond Petroleum. So does this signal an end to that commitment? Not necessarily. Here's Scott Tong from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk.
If you're shopping for a share of a solar power plant, BP is selling in Long Island and in Australia. It's exiting what's now a struggling sector, says Nathaniel Bullard at Bloomberg New Energy Finance. The field is crowded and the market is slowing.
Financial returns are pushed down. If you're selling product, you may be selling it at very low to zero margin.
But when the down cycle ends, he expects the sun to come out again. In many places, solar is cheap enough to replace coal or gas. As far as renewable energy in general, BP is staying in wind power and alternative fuels. Why?
Energy is energy. It requires a long time, a deep balance sheet. It requires a lot of expertise in dealing with regulatory bodies. This is what oil companies do.
And many companies have fingers in the renewables pie, including Chevron, Shell, and ExxonMobil. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, to Rock Island, Illinois, which today is celebrating Festivus. Yes, Festivus, the secular holiday invented by Frank Costanza on Seinfeld some 14 years ago.
The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Well, in Rock Island today, there will be an unadorned aluminum pole at the corner of 18th Street and 2nd Avenue. And according to the Quad City Times, a local restaurant will be serving the official Festivus meal, meatloaf. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.